On Easter Sunday, Christians around the world celebrated the miracle of the empty tomb. After all, the resurrection was the quintessential display of deity. In a single moment, Jesus declared his power, and he liberated his followers from the darkness of death. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll invites us to take our next step in celebrating Easter. Following the resurrection, and just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus delivered instructions to his disciples. In Matthew 28, we discover how these words apply to us today as well. Chuck titled his message, Marching Orders from the Master.
Just as Jesus came knowing his mission, before there ever was time, the Godhead agreed, if you will, to use human terms, on a plan of redemption, a plan of salvation. The second member of the Trinity would come to this earth, would be born, conceived in a virgin's womb, would be born in Bethlehem and would grow up in Nazareth, and ultimately in manhood at about age 30, he takes on the role of an itinerant preacher, and he walks this earth for three and a half years before he dies, paying the complete penalty for sin in his death. And then 3 days and nights later, he is raised from the dead. What's interesting, and get this, between the angel's words, he is risen, and the angel's words, he has been taken up, or 40 days. 40 days, according to Acts chapter 1, where he ministers and touches lives and ultimately gives them words that they would live on now that he would be leaving them. It all is based on his authority to do so. We read in verse 18, Jesus spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, what is it to which we submit? Look at them in verses 19 and 20. If you have a pencil, you might want to circle them. Go. Next you read, make disciples. The third is a participle, baptizing. And the fourth is mentioned at the beginning of verse 20, teaching. Go, make disciples, baptizing, teaching. Let's start with going, since it's named first, used first in Jesus' words. It isn't going from this building to some other building in the community. It's going, look at what it says, look for yourself. It's an action that leads ultimately to making disciples of whom? Look at it. All the nations. In fact, Acts 1:8 ends with to the remotest part of the earth, the tiniest island of the sea, the most obscure of places. Now we come to the main verb, the prominent imperative, make disciples. Please observe, it does not say make converts. It does not stop with win the lost. That's a start. But disciples are not simply converts. All disciples are converts, but not all converts become disciples. We are to make disciples. What does that mean? It's an educational term, if you will. It means learners, make disciples. It's a relational term as well. We are to mentor them, It requires spending time with others as they mature in their walk and life of obedience. It is to assist them in their growth in knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is encouraging them to become spiritually self-sustaining, learning how to nourish themselves in the things of God. It is helping others to deepen their faith, to make a dramatic, personal, permanent change in lifestyle, so that Christ is preeminent in thought, in attitude, in deed, in motive, in response to his written word. A disciple learns how to search the scriptures on your own. How do you learn? By being taught. You don't know this by being born. You don't learn manners just because you're born into a family. You must learn good manners. You must learn how to handle the utensils at the table, how to feed yourself, and ultimately how to cook for yourself. And the best meals are the nourishing meals. All of this is involved in making disciples. Now, as a person grows toward maturity, that individual wishes to be identified with the body of Christ in the eyes of the public. And that's what baptism is all about. You know that when you travel overseas, your conversion isn't taken seriously until you are baptized. And when you are walking into that river or into that lake or wherever the public baptism is, and you are taken under the water and brought up, the people watching know you mean business. Baptizing is a part of the growing up in the body of Christ. We're not baptized to be born again. We're baptized because we have been born again, and we are making a statement without words. Death to the old life, beginning a new life in Christ when we come up from the water. So baptizing is a part of the work of making disciples. And please observe, teaching them to observe how much, A-L-L. The one who has all authority wants us to learn all that he says about his commands. This is a series of commands. May I add a couple of thoughts here? Making disciples isn't a fast process. Just as becoming an adult doesn't happen quickly and easily. It takes time. It's not so much exciting as it is exacting, because pain is a part of the growth. And as we become disciples, we learn how to deal with the pain and struggles of life. How do we learn that? By being taught, teaching them to observe all things. It requires constant adjusting of one's life to the life of Christ's model. The power of the Holy Spirit goes to work, and it is amazing what occurs in a human's life once discipleship is underway. If Easter was the most exciting part of the disciples' lives as they heard of their Savior being raised, I would like to think that the ascension was the most exciting moment of Jesus' earthly life, because he's going back home. He's leaving earth to go back to where he was before he came. You ever thought about this? There was a great risk in his leaving earth. You know what the risk was? That he might be forgotten. When he left this earth and told the disciples, "You carry on without me. You make disciples of all the nations. You do that." And they did, by the way. In their generation, they turned the world upside down. The question is, what about our generation? The secret of his being remembered rested with the disciples. and the disciple makers. They turn the world upside down. The question is, will we? Will you? There is one way that the message of Christ will not be forgotten, and that is when disciples begin the process of growing toward maturity, they realize the value of making him known, of reaching the lost, of paying attention to the needs of the brothers and sisters in the family of God, of growing up. And by doing so, the message of Christ goes on and on and on. Before I finish, I have to spend just a few final moments on the importance of teaching, because this is a role the church is ordained to play. Taking in a solid, consistent diet of spiritual food is essential for growth toward maturity. Just as you cannot grow and stay healthy by eating junk food, you cannot grow spiritually by feeding on junk entertainment. For converts to grow up and become genuine disciples of the Lord Jesus, they must be taught the truths of Holy Scripture. God's word must be communicated through the faithful exposition of the Bible. Week after week, Sunday after Sunday, class after class, from one year to the next in our growing up. Many churches began with that commitment, but the majority have long since drifted from it. Human opinions and every other substitute has taken the place of the teaching of the Scriptures. When you come to a church in the 21st century, you may find compassion, entertainment, all styles of music, every kind of attention-getting activity and device, all designed to keep you entertained and coming back and feeling good. But if you do not find the priceless treasure of Christ's teaching and Christ-worshiping emphasis based on the sacred truths, the church has sold you short, and you are in the wrong place. For you to become a true disciple of Jesus Christ is an impossibility without solid, consistent teaching. He says to them, go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing and teaching all that I've commanded you. And the best part is saved till the last. I am with you always. If he weren't, we would have dropped the baton centuries ago. But he gives us the grip to hold on to the commitment. And he will do so till the end of the age, as we follow through obeying his command to make disciples. That explains, men and women, why Stonebriar Community Church is committed to the teaching of the Word of God. It is foundational to our existence. May it always be true that whoever fills this pulpit is faithful to teaching the Word of God, expositing the verses, explaining the meaning, and applying the truth so that we can grow and become self-sustaining, Christ-honoring disciples. The first step is conversion. It may be for you the next step to take. Only you can take it. And I'd like to bow with you as we give thought to that. If there's never been a time in your life when you have trusted in Jesus Christ, now is the time. Come in simple faith to him. Simply say to the Lord, I am lost. I acknowledge my alienation from you. And I come today for you to be everything I need. My forgiveness, my reason for existence, my hope to go on. Dennis Jernigan put it this way, you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. I invite you today to take Christ as your all in all and begin a journey toward becoming a disciple. If we can help you in any way, that's why we are here. Let us know. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. I pray that what has been shared will make an impact and then make a difference in our own walk and in our reason for existence. I pray that you will drill these words into our hearts, and may we see how significant they are. And I want to add how grateful I am and we are that you are with us all the way. Without you, we can't see this fulfilled. So may we walk humbly with you, and may we continually bow before you as we take your word as the nourishment for our souls. Find us faithful in the running of the race, and we do it for your glory, Father. Thank you that you were with us always, even to the end. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen.
I stand in His presence.
Our thanks to the Stonebriar Community Church Choir and Orchestra, under the direction of Dr. Don McMinn. The title of this grand composition, Holy Is He. I'm pleased to say that Chuck's complete sermon is one of the messages included in a brand new collection called A Living Hope. I'll explain how you can get a CD copy in just a moment. First, though, let me remind you that Chuck's classic series on the family, Biblical Parenting, continues tomorrow. We had placed this study on hold in order to concentrate fully on Easter. And let me remind you that our team has put together comprehensive study notes called Searching the Scriptures. Whether you're a pastor, perhaps leading a small group Bible study, or you're simply curious to learn more about God's design for the family, be sure to take advantage of this free resource. You'll find notes for all 12 studies in the Biblical Parenting series by going to insightworld.org/studies. This free tool is made possible because listeners like you give donations to support Insight for Living. And Chuck, we are especially grateful to our monthly companions who are devoted to giving on a regular basis.
That's right, Dave. A monthly companion is someone who gives a recurring donation every month in whatever amount God places on your heart. And perhaps you have no idea the impact this makes, not only on Insight for Living Ministries, but more importantly, on those who hear these daily programs. Following our services on Sunday morning at our church, I enjoy greeting women and men who travel from faraway places to worship with us. They often say things like this, "Chuck, even though we've never met face to face, we've listened for many years and we feel like we know you." And then they may add, and often through tears, "Let me tell you something God has done because of the lessons we've learned through Insight for Living." When they thank me for the ministry, I know the gratitude really belongs to monthly companions. In fact, the Bible teaching that originates in Frisco, Texas, would never get beyond the walls of Stonebriar Community Church without our monthly companions. As you benefit from the Bible teaching on Insight for Living, let me invite you to join this valuable support team. You'll never regret making this investment in others, because God will use your generosity as the channel to touch lives in ways you never imagined possible.
And to respond to Chuck Swindoll and become a monthly companion right now, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. With your first donation as a new monthly companion, or when you give a special one-time gift, we'll be saying thanks by providing a unique collection of CDs called A Living Hope. The first two CDs contain messages from Chuck, including the complete sermon you heard today. And the third CD includes an inspirational concert by the Stonebriar Community Church Sanctuary Choir and Orchestra. To give a one-time donation and request the CD collection, A Living Hope, if you're listening in the United States, give us a phone call at 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us Thursday when Chuck Swindoll will pick back up with a series on biblical parenting on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Marching Orders from the Master, was copyrighted in 2016, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.